You are listening to The Talking Show on K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only radio station, probably, at this point.
Yeah, the other one closed.
Yeah, they went the way of Olympus cameras, unfortunately.
Oh, you saw that news today as well.
Yeah, and the way of the Pacific Dining Car.
Oh, they closed?
The Santa Monica location, yeah, a few weeks ago.
Oh, dang. I guess I've been deleting the emails because I thought, what are the odds of me going to get a steak?
Yeah. And the way of the Old Town Pasadena Le Pain Quotidien.
No.
It appears so. It appears so.
Oh, you really know that the depression is setting. These are the signs of a looming depression.
Yeah, when simulations of high bourgeois France are going under, you know you toast.
Yeah, we'll talk about Pacific Dining Car to our children, being like, there was a time when there was such a thing as the Santa Monica location of Pacific Dining Car.
Right. Yeah, the other location I think is 90-100 years old or something like that.
Yeah,
I've
it
actually
can never, die.
Never been to the downtown one. I've only been to the Santa
really?
Monica one.
No way. I feel exactly the opposite. I've only ever been to the downtown location. It's right around the corner from Spa Palace.
Okay.
Which is another business that I can't imagine is doing well right now.
Oh, yeah. Gyms and spas are probably leaning heavily on those Trump bucks if they are getting them.
Yeah. You've seen the images of what gyms are like now, those that choose to reopen?
No, I have not.
So they have like these sort of booths with sort of like, you know, like when you go to a welding shop or a metal shop and there's like a spray out booth with a heavy plastic sheeting.
So
there's they've got the plastic sheeting on three sides. Wow. And then you like work out in one of the bays. It doesn't look fun. It doesn't look, it looks freaky as shit. But also kind of cool and photogenic. So,
well, you know what I smell in those partitions is unused ad space.
Oh boy.
We could fund Kate Chung for years.
Yeah. We're just putting ads for, nootropics and, testosterone shots or something like that on the sides of gym paneling.
Yeah, I mean, the few stores I've been to, mostly for liquor, it's like every register is like when you go to a gas station that has been held up several times, you know, they install the thick glass and stuff. It feels a bit like that.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, there was a more violent version of America where that's just what everything was like. Like, I know that at the Texas State Capitol, for example, the Office of the Treasurer is like a bank from a Western movie. It's like a long room with beautiful woodwork and then like a iron bars separating one side of the long sort of woodwork bar from you, and you go in there and pay your business taxes, I guess, or whatever, you know, like whatever transactions are conducted with the state treasurer. You stand on one side of the iron bars and they stand on the other side, you know, and if you hold them up, they're still the loot's still locked away. You can't steal from Texas. So yeah, you know, it's like, but I feel like that might have been built at a time when legitimately some people did just try and like do armed robbery on the state of Texas. Like the idea of that seems like it may have at one point been reasonable, you know, like Mexico wants it back and they just start by taking the entire economy out of the Capitol building or something. Who knows? But it was thrilling. It was like something in an old Western movie right in the heart of downtown Austin.
Yeah, I thought about that in relation to the looting, whether it was real or not.
What do you mean?
I'm just joking. You know, there have been so many Well, it's just, you know, the right has been saying there was tons of looting. The left, there was very little.
I see.
But, you know, it's like you're in a state of mayhem and the people who choose to loot are trying to steal things of value.
Typically.
Yeah. Like 200 years ago, they would have gone to the bank, right?
Uh-huh.
And like come out with giant sacks with dollar signs on them.
Yeah, 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 right.
But now they go for, you know, rare Air Jordans.
Yeah.
It is a different time.
Well, you know, the funny part is that lots of high-ticket items are unfenceable. Like, you can't really rob a Mac store.
Yeah.
They can neutralize all the devices by remote.
Mm-hmm.
So, although that stuff's really expensive, you know, they know what serial numbers are at what store. You'll never be able to connect it to the internet, you know, which is like renders essentially all those products useless.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can't steal from Apple. You can't steal from, you know, like you can't really steal cash.
I think you can, there just aren't really stockpiles of cash in the way there used to be.
Well, and to get a large amount of cash, it would all be in sequentially numbered. You know, like there would be like a sequence of bills.
Right, and they'd put a block.
People would know you were spending them. Yeah, exactly. Like there's not you. You know, maybe if you went around and took $20 from everyone, as like a random sample, then you could like fence. That would work. You know, but if you just went into a bank and took like a stack of hundreds. The stack of hundreds would be traceable.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that movie about our friend Dan Finsel called To Live and Die in L.A. Have you seen that movie about Dan?
I've seen the movie. I saw it at a time when I was watching a lot of Pakula, Friedkin, and Michael Mann movies.
Okay.
And all of them are, and I was specifically watching the ones from the late 70s to early 80s that were all set in Los Angeles that all had Tangerine Dream soundtracks.
that's a tight grouping, Steve. Nice shooting.
Those are some fine, stylish thrillers. But I actually don't remember. To Live and Die in L.A., that's the one where Willem Dafoe is the counterfeiter.
Yeah, he's a counterfeiter, right, okay. and contemporary artist.
That's right. I forgot. And he wears a kimono at one point, an outrageous kimono at one point.
Yeah. And he just, I guess the only person I know personally in L.A. who seems to live, well, I guess he doesn't live here anymore, but live a lifestyle like Willem Dafoe's, where he's just like in and out of like gyms and fancy art situations and then like very mysterious and like has a studio out in the hinterlands that no one's allowed to go to, is Dan.
You know what? Dan's back.
Oh, there you go.
He drove across the country from his home in New Jersey back to Los Angeles.
He was printing cash out there in New Jersey. And
yeah, he was counterfeiting from Maurizio Cattelan in New York, and yeah.
There's also a thing, you know, Willem Dafoe's character of like blowing up things, but then remaining intact. If that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
like I will decimate this relationship, but then life seemingly unaffected.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it's about Dan.
That one is the one where the main guy is like going through his marriage is imploding as well.
No, the main guy is like a kind of, all American Midwestern police officer. Detective, and he's in the counterfeit division, which they make look really sexy, but I don't imagine is all that sexy.
No, I imagine it's for nerds.
Yeah, and he like print nerds.
Yeah, totally. it's like the zine fair to carceral state sort of pipeline where, you know, you've spent a long time toiling in the Risograph dungeon.
Yeah,
and you're like you've done some well-received zines. You know, you're sort of like the Catherine Bigelow of pictures generation video art, but instead you're like the Catherine Bigelow of 80s zines, and then you decide to do counterfeiting for the FBI or whatever.
Yep.
Instead of making Zero Dark 30.
Pretty much.
Wow. Well, you know, speaking of being back in LA.
Oh yeah. How was your transition from the outer planets to the inner one?
Oh my God, dude. Well, I'll preface this all by saying that midway through our trip, we consulted the stars via an app and found out that we were traveling right at the beginning of Mercury being in retrograde.
Okay.
And I think that that really hits the nail on the head in a few ways. For example, we left a day later than we thought we were going to leave, first of all, because both Meredith and I, seemed to throw at our backs at the same time. So we were both moving way slower. Then there were a few other incidental things that sort of postponed the trip. So we left a day later than we had thought. And, you know, no big deal. So we left exactly a week ago, Wednesday morning in Texas. Of course, packing up the house and, you know, packing up the cats and everything like that always takes a little longer. Like, the final moves take a little longer than you think, too. So we left 3 hours later than we had assumed we would as well. But we had hopes, I guess, that we would be able to get significantly. Maybe we would be able to get to, like, Deming, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Or we'd be able to get out of Texas, at least. And if not all the way to, like, Las Cruces or something like that. And then we could drive from Las Cruces to LA the next day, and it would be easy. And if things were going really smoothly, we even thought, like, oh, you know, hey, we could even maybe get all the way to Los Angeles, you know, if we were feeling heroic, if things are going real well. But before we get out of the Austin city limits, this pickup truck driving in front of us launches a shovel.
Whoa.
Onto the highway. And it pinwheels towards us, and I swerve and miss it. But that was like an indication of how things were to go. Like, we did not get hit by the shovel, fortunately, because it probably would have caused us a fair amount of damage, truthfully. I mean, like, the Honda Fit is not made out of, like, steel, particularly, or not significantly. You know, significant parts of it are made out of plastic. It's designed to crunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It wouldn't have been good. No. One way or the other.
Who was driving?
I was.
Yikes.
And then this entire time, so the car is very full, and both cats are in carriers, nylon Cordura carriers, behind each of our headrests. And Jeff is losing his mind. He's just, like, crying the entire time that all this is happening. And about 3 hours outside of Austin, Jeff analyzes the structural weaknesses of his carrier and realizes that, like many sewn objects, it is weaker near the seams, and that he could, if he wants, sort of remove the zipper, basically. So he unstitches the zipper and pops out like an alien breaching from someone's chest.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're driving, I guess, I don't know if we're technically in West Texas at this point, or whether we're still in sort of Central Texas or Outer Hill Country. I don't know what you'd call this, but it's where the highway is cut through sort of rock hills, and you're going up and down a lot. And there were lots of trucks doing their, like, thing where one of them has arranged to cut in front of the other ones, and they're sort of doing their thing. So we're in the middle of this truck gyre, going through these chthonic rock cliffs on either side of the road with no shoulder, and Jeff's squirming out of his carrier, and you know, and he's very freaked out by this whole thing. Like, he's only reacting in pure panic. He's also very drugged at this point. He's supposed to be unconscious based on the number of drugs pumped into him, but he's like thoroughly activated, and so he squirms around in the front seat. Meredith tries to hold him. Because he's like trying to gain purchase with objects, his claws are out. You know, and he's trying to like grab onto stuff. So we're just getting like cut up in the front seat. And it's like driving and spraying hand sanitizer on like the new bleeding wound.
Yikes.
That like Jeff's put in my leg. And, you know, eventually like Meredith swaddles him in a blanket and he sort of settles down a little bit. But about every 15 minutes, he'll like try and make a bid for freedom. He'll try and like lurch into the driver's seat or jump into the back or something like that. Try and get free some other way. And so like this situation's unbearable. And so Meredith's also sort of scanning for communities ahead of us who would have sufficient size to have a store that could sell us a hard-shelled pet carrier. Which we locate in Fort Stockton, Texas.
Right.
But in all the chaos, I do not observe that the gas, that there isn't much gas after Ozona. And we run out of gas 20 miles west of Ozona.
Oh, just the car sputters out?
No, well, we see what's going, we see what's happening. We check for gas in the horizon, realize that that's unlikely, and we pull into, fortunately, into one of those like sort of pull-offs for truckers to sleep in. And so, you know, an hour later, the roadside assistance guy comes with the gas, jerry can of gas, and the car, we get moving, and we have to drive back to Ozona to fill up with gas properly and then head back to get back on the road and head back to towards Fort Stockton. This is a week ago. Yeah. And so, and meanwhile, you know, we're in a car on the side of a road in the middle of the desert. It's very hot and cats don't sweat. So like all kinds of really, you know, sort of like exorcist style, like head spinning around, speaking in tongue stuff is going on with the cats. Like they, you know, they're physically reacting very badly to being like in a car, in a hot car. Lots of weird stuff's going on. So it's like stressful and upsetting. And as we pull into Fort Stockton, this whole time, of course, Jeff's not in a carrier. Jeff's just like sort of in a blanket that he's quietly shredding. and as we get into Fort Stockton, the skies open up and there's like a biblical car wash style deluge. And the roads just turn to froth. And
cats
people
love deluge.
Yeah, they Jeff is actually famous for his hatred of thunderstorms. So this is like even more terrifying. I mean, it's pretty viscerally terrifying for us. You know, we're driving through this flooded town that is, you know, it really drives home why you would want a pickup truck, I guess, because it's like definitely less of a problem to drive a pickup truck in the deluge, I think, than a Honda Fit. And then, yeah, and then we decide to call it a day. And before going to the Walmart or whatever to look at the carriers, we check ourselves into a hotel and just zone out
Motel
for a second.
Is there
Motel 6? It was a La Quinta Inn.
Oh, I've stayed at the Motel 6 there.
What do you think of that?
It was surprisingly nice. It was like it had been remodeled by an app.
Oh,
like,
sweet.
Like all the surfaces had been 3D printed or something.
Oh, cool. Like it just came, a render came to life.
It felt that way. Like they'd press like materialize on the render.
When did you stay there?
You know, I used to live out there in West Texas. And so I feel like just every once in a while, maybe like I used to go to Houston quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes my lifestyle was pretty flexible those days. So sometimes, you know, it's not too far from Marfa, but it's what, three hours away, 2 hours.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I just get there around like 9 or 10 in the evening and be like, you know what, I'm just gonna pull over for now.
Yeah, yeah. Take a break. Swim in a pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My family has history there.
Really?
there was a massive trauma that my uncle suffered when my grandfather was stationed in El Paso, and so they were traveling the area, and my uncle was just a small kid, and they were at a Waffle House or something there, or some chain breakfast place. And
the Denny's.
The waiter slipped with a pot of coffee and dropped it on my uncle.
Oh, no.
He had terrible burns and had to go to the hospital. And
oh, God.
There was
like
an under the counter settlement with Waffle House or whoever it was. And sounds like a miserable thing. But every time, for some reason, I'd passed through Fort Stockton several times with my dad, and he always points that out. So that's seared into memory for sure.
I mean, that sucks.
Yeah.
I have experienced the burnt by coffee.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Phenomenon. And, I still have a scar. Yeah. It sucks. It's terrible. And to be a child, I mean, in a way, fortunate to be a child, because I think you heal better in general and whatever. You definitely grow and move on. And maybe you don't remember it as clearly as you know, like in such detail, maybe, because it's just part of like the wash of history. I certainly know that like lots of painful stuff that happened to me as a kid, I remember distinctly, but somewhat vaguely. I think that it's probably like legit. There's no way that suffering a burn like that's not super traumatizing. I actually, now that it comes back to mind, you know, I'm in the apartment where I sustained my terrible burns. I remember all the places I went. And all the things I did when I was recovering from being badly burned here in this very room. This is like the Fort Stockton of my memory palace.
Chiquita's made that drive twice.
And so did she eat through her carrier?
I think it was on the way to West Texas from LA. My mom drove with me, and my mom made a bunch of roast beef before the drive, so we'd have something to snack on. Didn't have, you know, because that drive's not so exciting in terms of food.
No, sure.
And I remember Chiquita would just scream at the top of her lungs, and then I had the idea of offering her a piece of roast beef, and she just like swallowed it whole and then passed out. And this just became the routine. Then she'd sleep for like an hour, and then she'd wake up screaming, and we'd give her a piece of roast beef, and she'd fall asleep. And she just like slowly ate through our entire stock of roast beef.
Aww.
That was how that went.
Yeah, we tried bribing him with treats.
Yeah.
We tried everything. Yeah, eventually we did secure a hard shell carrier, but it wasn't until we put him in a Thunder shirt in El Paso that things really settled, I think.
Well, how does it feel to have both feet firmly planted in a blue state?
As someone who can't vote in any of these elections, it's a little bit six of one, half dozen of the other, you know, because there's things like. Like on the one hand, it is there is some vague gesture towards public health here, but also like the enthusiasm of the state, the lack of a sort of comprehensive public health strategy in the face of sort of the needs of capital is just like slightly delayed here or something. You know, like you can still go to IKEA, but it's just a hassle. As opposed to just being able to walk into the IKEA.
Right.
And, you know, one way of thinking about it is like the IKEA should still be closed. Or there should be, you know, like there's just other ways that this could be done or something like that. So I feel like, you know, both are the party of capital. More so now than ever, I think, as well. Now that it's going to be like, what, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden on the ticket.
I don't. They haven't really announced her yet, have they?
No, no, not officially. But
it's,
I mean,
that way, yeah.
Of all the people, you know, since it can't be Amy Klobuchar anymore, then if that's the way it's going to be, then, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But it will be like the, you know, different cops, different, you know, a different doddering white racist rapist dude will be in charge. You know, and how left leaning is Gavin Newsom really? I don't know. You know, it's, and like Garcetti's certainly shown his face in all this, with his sort of inching the police budget back up in the last week and things like this.
He just scraped the icing off the cake.
Yeah, just like a little bit of the icing.
Yeah.
You can still see what it says, really. It's just like sort of the domed crests.
Yeah, he locked the crests off the icing.
Trimmed down, but it still says, yeah, like, happy birthday to you, police force.
Guys, we can't have the fudge we usually have on top of the ice cream that's on top of the cake.
It really sucks for them to have to go without the fudge.
Yeah.
To have their chicken sandwich delayed when they go through the drive-thru because they paid with their police credit union debit card.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Yeah. Oh, man, I miss chicken sandwiches. I should get one of those.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to go?
I don't know. We've been pretty cautious about eating out, so haven't done much of that.
Hmm. Oh, we went to, we got takeout from Pho Cafe. Oh, this is another crazy thing. today is the anniversary of our wedding at Night Gallery.
Oh, congratulations.
Meredith and I, yeah.
How many years?
Oh, boy, that was what, 2017? So
yeah.
Three years?
Oh, yeah, because just before Meredith went to school.
Yeah, exactly. And she was in school, actually.
Oh, it was the summer between the first and second year?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because then this last year, she wasn't in school. She was at University of Texas.
She was at school in a different way.
It's true. But yeah, so we were busy. You were emceeing. It was a fantastic night for all concerned. But we were like, oh, let's get some takeout or something celebratory. So when we failed to go to IKEA today, we went through and picked up some pho at Pho Cafe. And that was an incredibly brief exchange too. Like literally you walk up to the door and they seem to know who you are automatically. Just open the door and shove something at you and then stick out a yogurt container.
Yeah.
And you just throw money in it and leave.
We've been going to the park on the weekends, just any park and, you know, lounging around. It's been nice. Even just like see people from a distance, not people we know, but, you know, people that are
other humans.
Yeah. You know, when people are lounging in the park, they're generally unmasked, which I think seems safe to me. You know, if you're 15 feet apart from each other in the outdoors.
So lounging is permitted. It's hard to tell what's allowed and what isn't.
I think, yeah, lounging's permitted. I mean, the bars are open now, so.
Right.
And then I got a message from Two True DJ Max Kravitsky that our co-ed soccer league's supposed to start next weekend.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm certainly, our little weed-inspired left-leaning team is not going to be playing this early.
Uh-huh.
But that seemed crazy that the city of Pasadena was allowing that to happen.
Yeah, sports. And like a semi-contact sport, you know, like you can get quite close to someone else and they're droplets.
Well, and also, you know, like European soccer, which, mm-hmm, let's be frank, the stakes are a little higher than the co-ed league in Pasadena. Just a little bit. Just a touch.
No.
Just a touch.
No.
They started last week.
Right.
And, you know, American sport, like American, I don't know what season we're in. Basketball should be going on, but it's not. Hockey. All these things aren't happening. Why should we be playing?
No, it's true. I mean, and the funny thing about the European Soccer League is that they also have, like some of these are the largest sports franchises in the globe.
Yeah.
You know, teams like Real Madrid or something like that. And they are taking, like, absolutely superhuman efforts to at least produce the illusion of safety.
Oh, no, I think, like, if regular civilians come within 20 feet of players, they are executed.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Because and we have permission from Angela Merkel to just kill anyone who comes near the Bayern Munich team.
Yeah, 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 shot on sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even shoot him in the limbs style. Just shoot him wherever you want.
Yeah, wherever you want. Yeah, I feel like absolutely superhuman efforts are being taken on their behalf, whereas, you know, it would be hard to say that about the Pasadena League. Although, who knows? I mean, did Max send you the full email from the Pasadena League?
No, he just texted me. He was didn't know what to do. I was kind of frightened.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that if we check the rules, maybe there is like a lot of, you know, maybe you have to be quarantined with your teammates for 2 weeks before play can resume.
Yeah. Sorry, Ella.
Yeah, me and Max, we just have to hang out together and you know, you have to pay for it. You have to pool up your money and pay for a team doctor so that they can monitor your test results on a daily basis.
Yeah. There is a team that we play against that's composed entirely of nurses, doctors, and other hospital workers
from
a particular hospital downtown. And surprisingly, this team is named Manchester United.
Wow.
But, you know, they'd be a good team to play probably because they know what's going on and have had a lot of exposure.
Well, I would argue that they've had the most exposure, and that's a good reason to not go anywhere near them.
Oh, I thought you were on board with herd immunity, Steve.
No, I mean, like, I guess they can get tested, right? That's the thing. That's the most tested team. Yeah. Oh boy. So anyway, it's hard. It's interesting to be back. It's nice to see things that I recognize. It's nice to be in a place with such even and predictable weather.
Mm-hmm.
The cats all recognize everything. They've all just settled back into it. It's not like it's a new house or anything like that.
That's good.
Yeah. But
are you two settled in? Or are you still unpacking and everything?
Well, we're unpacking in phases because we packed a lot of stuff away here when we left.
Right. Like your studio was packed to the gills.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, and then there's stuff in the house too. So we have to we've more or less gotten everything that was in the car out. And now we're going to begin sifting through the things that we left here.
And did you do a pod type thing?
From Texas, yeah. And then the pod comes in later this week.
Oh, okay. So then that'll be another phase.
Yeah. And the pod can wait a little bit, you know, because it's got...
How does that work? Do they, like, drop in your neighborhood? Or is there, like, a location where it chills for a minute? So you can.
In this case, the pod goes to a U-Haul facility.
Okay. And so you have a few days to deal with it or something?
No, we've got, like, a month.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Comes the month of storage. So we could be lazy. We could be proactive. You know, we could take it in lots of different directions.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's the story with that. Yeah. So we've got stuff all over the place. It's interesting to see, I guess how, trying to figure out what's acceptable and what isn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think one of our neighbors had a party the other day.
Yeah. That's not,
I don't
great.
Know about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we had some people over for a second, you know, outside
mm-hmm.
in Austin to give away all our kitchen stuff and all the remnants, etc. And I didn't feel too bad about that, but
no,
I
think
don't know.
I think the expression is "you do you." That's what people should be doing.
Yeah,
because you know, I mean, people should definitely protest if they feel inclined to.
Yeah.
There are some, I'm trying to think. There are some behaviors that seem reprehensible. Like if, I would be upset with friends who went to a concert or something.
Yeah, except for, as the meme says, only avant-garde music where you will likely to be one of the only people there.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the only acceptable.
Right.
Like, yeah, as long as it's a concert that will be thoroughly empty.
True.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, what else would be thoroughly reprehensible?
Trying to think.
What's on your list? What would you stop talking to me about if I did it?
If you went to the Glendale Galleria.
The Galleria, not the Americana brand.
That's okay. It's outdoors. It's got a great theme. Uh-huh. There's plenty of reasons to go there. But I mean, I'd be upset with you if you went to the Galleria even in peacetime.
Really?
No, I'm kidding about that.
There's an Orange Julius in there. I might not be able to resist.
There's like the thing I like about that mall is there's like a Windows kiosk.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a proper store. It's like a kiosk or something.
Yeah, it's like where it's like an expanded version of one of those businesses that like etches your name on a keychain.
Yeah.
Or like Build-A-Bear. Yeah.
It's like they draw you in because from a distance it looks like an Apple store, but then you're like, wait. What is this? Crap?
Oh no, these are just surfaces. Oh no. For shame.
Oh my God.
No. Yeah. How dare they?
Yeah. I don't know. I look forward to having dinner parties whenever that can happen. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen anytime soon, but
I feel like maybe barbecues.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I did read that. I mean, most grilling. Of the news I get is through like recreational sports, but all those, the LA parks are supposed to open August 15th. I mean, obviously you can go hiking now or walk around, but in terms of like the facilities themselves.
Huh. So
that's
like
not,
so
I mean,
when
that's
you,
distance
when,
away.
When you go lounge in the park, there's no park facilities open, but you're allowed to be there.
We've been going to the one in Old Town Pasadena that does have lawn bowling, I've discovered, and that is definitely closed.
Okay.
But the trash, I mean, they seem to be taking care of the trash. Like, you know, the trash cans aren't overfilled, and there's like a decent amount of people lounging about. I forgot since you know, I don't really know too many dog owners, I forgot that people who have dogs just take them to the park and let them go. Like, let them run.
Yes.
It hasn't... I mean, they have no dogs have come near me, but it's surprising that how well all the dogs seem to get along at that park.
Huh.
Oh, and yeah. And speaking of animal news, Chiquita has a boyfriend.
No.
Yeah, there's a handsome cat who lives across the street named Henry, who's orange and yellow colored, and he doesn't have a tail. He's a very brazen cat. He walks across Orange Grove, which is a very busy street, and just kind of patrols around. And we caught them a few weeks ago sitting in the backyard near each other. And then about a week ago in the morning on the porch, they had an interaction, a puffy-tailed interaction. I can only see her tail puffing out. He doesn't have a tail. And then like a few days later, I heard what I thought was Chiquita snacking at an hour that she does not normally snack. You know, she eats early and then late, but not like at 11. And so I went to see what she was doing, and she had invited Henry in for a snack.
She was watching him eat?
Yeah. She's just standing next to him while he chowed down on her food.
Wow.
But then the next day they got in a screaming fight and he hasn't been around for a few days. So I don't know what's going on.
Henry, you jerk.
Yeah. Or, you know, Chiquita's a tough cookie.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was at her house.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say in your defense, Chiquita? Well, you heard it first here on the That's Talking the, Show.
Those are the facts. Yeah. I believe Chiquita.
Yeah, she's been very moody. I think she's torn up over it. So we're trying.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry, Henry's such a jerk, but you know what they say about cats who look sort of like Garfield?
Yeah.
Look like Garfield, like Garfield, a jerk.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, loves lasagna.
Loves, probably tried to get some lasagna in your house and was just settled for Chiquita's food, but was hoping for lasagna.
I know.
Can you imagine a cat eating actual lasagna?
You know, Chiquita has a few interests outside of cat food, and they are peculiar. She likes chicken. That's not uncommon.
No, that's normal.
She likes ice cream.
Yeah, okay.
And she likes pizza.
Huh.
So that's pizza, cool. Pizza's close enough.
It's yeah,
like
it is.
Like the Ninja Turtles.
It's. I feel like it would be hard for them to use their style of eating would make lasagna difficult.
Well, he's like, it's just a one gulp gesture for old Garfield. Right.
Yeah. I feel like a cat would, like one of my cats would probably just like stick their head through the lasagna, you know, like under one sheet and then just sort of eat through a layer. I feel like that would be more the choice. But yeah. Oh boy. So anyway, it's been cool coming back. I still feel a little stunned being back. It's hard to believe that it's been a whole week.
Or that it's been almost a year.
Even that, yeah. I mean, fortunately, Los Angeles hasn't changed so much in some ways. So that's almost a blessing. You know, like you go away, come back, and it's just like, you know, you blinked. So you don't feel that sense of disjunction. But then, you do sort of wonder what everyone's up to. What are they doing?
It's also probably nice... in some sense, because I don't imagine you feel like you missed anything.
So I've missed some things, I guess, but not since February.
Yeah, you're not like entering into a stream where like all your friends are like progressing in this way or that. It's just like, welcome to stagnation.
I wonder though, you know, I feel like, I mean, speaking for myself, I know that like stagnation's definitely the word for it. Maybe for you as well, since you brought it up, but I imagine some people are undergoing immense personal growth.
Yeah, it's true. Possibly. I mean, some people I've talked to, some friends have really enjoyed this time.
I mean, I can't say I haven't enjoyed, you know, like I got really into the sensing my environment, I guess, when I was stuck on the compound. Like I came to know more of the birds and the bugs in my compost heap, and I understood more. I think I learned more about nature, you know, in a weird, for a city person who considers it hardly at all. It was remarkably nice.
Yeah.
And began to recognize what birds were in the yard based on their calls and things like that, being like, those are blue jays. That horrible sound is the blue jays.
Yeah, I do plan to go. I plan to go to the Huntington Gardens soon.
When they reopen?
I think that they're currently open for members only as a prestige institution. That's how they roll.
You should get a membership.
That's what I was thinking.
Pasadena,
it's like,
yeah.
I think it was a little too much. Like we kind of balked. I think it's like $160, which
yeah,
it's not cheap to get in. So that's only like, you know, us going
four trips,
yeah, three or four times, and we live 10 minutes away. But I did discover while doing a kind of virtual tour of the Australian area that whoever lived in this house before that planted the plants planted some like rare Australian flowers called kangaroo paws that we have all over the yard. So that was exciting. Cool. It was an exciting moment of discovery.
Yeah, you were like, wow, I learned about nature.
Yeah,
I learned the name. Yeah, I don't think it's been totally, you know, and I got good at drums again, which will atrophy now that I'm back in a small apartment, and I started playing a lot more. I got better at flute. I don't know, stuff changed. There have been improvements.
Mm-hmm. You're well on your way to like early craft work.
Yeah, totally. It will all live inside me.
What were they called before they were called craft work?
Oh, rip-off or something, or like, it was really hilarious. Like,
yeah, it was
jag-off or something.
I think it was a bit more like in keeping with the rest of the scene, like the new agey Tangerine Dream kind of stuff.
Well, they were a little more psychedelic. Yeah. Yeah, I'm basically there. I've been Michael Rother for years, and now I'm just trying to become Florian Schneider. But Yeah. Anyway, it's a weird one. I am curious, you know, like, I think there's probably some people who have been like doing great amounts of artwork.
I know, probably.
I'm jealous.
I know. Well, the only thing stopping you is you, I suppose.
That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, another fun thing that just happened is that our sink seems to be backing up into our downstairs neighbor's apartment.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So maybe to cap off all of this, later this week, our kitchen will just get torn out.
Fun. Or they'll probably just feed a snake down there, clear it out.
Well, it's like raining in their ceiling.
Oh,
something's probably broken. They'll have to like go get it.
Mark doesn't live down there. Is that your neighbor?
Not anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. It's these new people who I don't know very well. Yeah, they are going to have to endure that.
Yeah. Well, on that gentle note, sleep well, Chinatown.
The dripping you hear is just me washing my dishes above you.
Good morning.
Good morning.